Thank you, Brother Bob and Sister Sandra. Well, the next lesson is going to be an intriguing one. Now, I know that only because I've heard, not the lesson, but the speaker before. And I've always appreciated his good preparation. Brother Rick is going to speak to us on lessons involving bread. Brother Rick Evans.
Thank you, Brother Bob and Brother David. First, I would like to bring the love of your brother in Fresno, Sister Judy Smith, and Brother Tom Belden and Sister Sue Tellier. We may be small, but we're still moving along. Our study is going to be lessons involving bread today. The importance of bread seen in Scripture is what we're going to really look at a little today. More specifically, we're going to look at two lessons that involve bread. And the timeline that goes from the feeding of the 5,000 to the feeding of the 4,000. So first, we will look at the feeding of the 5,000 mentioned in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then we will follow the timeline from the feeding of the 5,000 to where the Pharisees and scribes challenge Jesus concerning the eating of bread with washed hands. Next, we will continue with the woman from Canaan and bread involving her. Then, as the timeline continues, we will look at the feeding of the 4,000. Lastly, we are going to follow this timeline to where the Pharisees and Sadducees will challenge Jesus to give them a sign. It is at this time that Jesus explains his lesson about bread. Here we will also see there was a second lesson that Jesus gave concerning all these events. So let's start with Matthew 14, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 21. So Matthew 14, 14 through 21. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes." And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they all took up the fragments which remained, which were 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men. Beside women and children. After reading this, you might have thought about the logistics in trying to feed 5,000 individuals. But let's read Luke 9, 14 through 17 first. So Luke 9, 14 through 17. "For they were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, 'Make them sit down by groups of 50 in a company.' And they did so, and they made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up fragments that remained of them, 12 baskets. We realize that the 5,000 refers to the men. But as we read in Matthew 14:21, there are also women and children. Knowing the 12 disciples are going to be feeding the multitude, how much time would be needed to accomplish this? Let's take a moment just to speculate about it. We would assume that the baskets would be a size manageable for the disciples to carry while being full. Using Luke 9, we see that the multitude is broken into groups of 50. So if you have 100 groups, 50 times 100 would equal 5,000. But that would only be the 5,000 men. So to make the math work out nicely, we're going to assume that there's 7,000 more people there, including the women and the children. So we have about 12,000 people. This would take care of the women and the children and all the men. And so when you divide 12,000 people by 50, groups of 50, there would be 240 groups. So 240 groups divided by 12 apostles would mean that each apostle would have about 20 groups to take care of. If it took them 10 minutes to feed one group, this means it would take the 12 disciples 3 hours and 20 minutes to feed the whole multitude. But we know when we have the Mark 6 account, we know that the multitude sat in hundreds and 50s. So if all the groups were 100, that would mean it would take half as long. So that would be about an hour and 40 minutes. But since the groups are mixed, we're going to speculate that the time would be anywhere from an hour and 40 minutes to 3 hours and 20 minutes. We know for sure that all was passed out to the individuals there was sufficient for them to eat. And all accounts confirm that they were filled. Whether the figures are accurate or not with our speculation, the insight is interesting with respecting to time. Logistics are astonishing. But what kind of impact would this have made on the disciples who had to feed them? The question and answer to this is amazing when you look at it. Jesus understands the importance of the symbolism of bread. He has had an intimate experience with this while he was in the wilderness, tempted by Satan. Jesus understands a greater depth to the feeding of the 5,000. Let's read Matthew 4, verses 2 through 4. So Matthew 4, verses 2 through 4. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made to bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus, in this feeding of the 5,000, had compassion upon this multitude. He spent time with them, healing them and teaching them. Let's read Mark 6:34 and also Luke 9:11. So these are all regarding our account. So Mark 6:34, "And having come forth, Jesus saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion on them, that they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach many things." Luke 9:11, "And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them. And he spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that all needed healing." Through his word and actions, Jesus is feeding the people concerning the kingdom of God. Therefore, there is a literal feeding of the 5,000. But that literal feeding of the 5,000 is reinforcing his teaching about the Word of God. Jesus is teaching and healing because he has compassion upon the people. But notice what the disciples asked Jesus to do at this time. We must remember, Jesus is always teaching. In this case, it's not just the multitude, but he's also teaching his disciples. So let's look at Luke 9:12. Luke 9:12. "And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and the country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for they are here in a desert place." In the Matthew, Mark, Luke accounts, the disciples say, send them away. Yet in the John account, we get a much greater insight into the disciples' thinking. Remember that Jesus has been teaching and healing, and the disciples have been watching this. Jesus knows the day is past, that it is time to eat. So he asks a question that elicits the response to send them away. Jesus is now teaching specifically to his disciples. We're going to read John chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. So this is John chapter 6, 5 through 10. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "This, there is a lad here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number of about 5,000. The word "prove" here in verse 6 is Strong's 3985, and it means to try or to test one's faith. We see this picture in Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, and this is what Jesus is doing with his disciples. So Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, 3985, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "That in Isaac shall thy seed be called," accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. The disciples had been listening, watching what Jesus had been doing with the multitude. Now comes a time to test their faith. Now, prior to the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus has sent the 12 out, 2 by 2, having power over unclean spirits and healing. The disciples had also previously seen Jesus raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. They had also seen Jesus cast out a legion of devils. They saw a tempest that was stilled on the lake. Jesus healed the centurion's servant as well as others. Seeing all of this does not mean they could apply it in their lives and in their faith. Just because we see something doesn't mean we're ready to apply it. This is the lesson that was given by Abraham when he was tested. He applied his faith and was willing to act accordingly upon that faith. When Philip answers Jesus in John 6:7, he gives the practical answer to Jesus. It would take a lot of money to feed this many. Andrew says, "We only have a little food." And the 12 disciples say, "Send them away. Let them fend for themselves." It makes you pause for a minute as to why Jesus put the disciples on the spot. Jesus saw the multitude coming. He could have kept walking or sent the multitude away himself, but he tells the multitude to sit down. After feeding the multitude, Jesus does send them away. Jesus meant now to teach a lesson about faith to his disciples using that multitude. This is seen in Mark 6, 45 through 47, also verses 49 and 52, and then Matthew 14, 29 through 31. Upon completing the feeding, Jesus sends the disciples away and the multitude and goes up into the mountain alone to pray. After praying, Jesus walks on the water out to the disciples in the boat, and the lesson comes to light. So we're going to look at Mark 6, 45 through 47, and then also verses 49 and 52. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain and prayed. And when even was come, and the ship was in the midst of the sea, he was alone on the land. Verse 49. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Now verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Matthew 14, 29 through 31. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Jesus understood their hearts, and all the physical proof, like feeding the 5,000, does not necessarily mean that faith withstands the tempests of life. The disciples did not put together all that they had seen and that they had experienced with their various situations yet. But let's continue to follow the timeline. As time continues on, Jesus with his disciples come to Jerusalem, and another lesson concerning bread is taught. And this is found in Matthew 15, verses 1 through 3. So Matthew 15, 1 through 3. Then came Jesus to the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Jesus gives a lesson about eating the bread with unwashed hands. Let's use the Mark account in chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, and also verse 13. So Mark 7, 6 through 9, and verse 13. And he answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, The people honoreth me with their lips, but with their heart is far from me. How be it in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men? For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And as he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Verse 13, Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. We notice how Jesus brings everything back to the Word of God, just like he did with Satan when he was tempted in the wilderness with the bread. This is what man should live by, the Word of God. Yet the Pharisees and scribes, they had the Word of God. Nevertheless, Jesus shows clearly that they had made it to none effect. The people were worshiping God by the standards set up by the Pharisees and the scribes, not by God's standard. The word none effect in this passage is one Greek word. It's Strong's 208, and it means to render void, deprive of force and authority. The Pharisees and scribes had compromised the Word of God, removed the force and the authority found in it. This is the Apostle Paul's point in Romans 10, verses 1 through 3. So this is Romans 10, 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. However, Jesus is not done with the lesson here. So let's read Mark 7, verses 14 through 16. So Mark 7, 14 through 16. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Notice that Jesus wants the people to understand what he's telling them about what is going on between him and the Pharisees and the scribes. But notice the response of the disciples. So we're going to read the Matthew account now, and this is Matthew 15, 12, and 13. So Matthew 15, 12, and 13. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said unto them, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. The disciples are concerned about offending the Pharisees. But this gives us great insight into the power the Pharisees had over the people and how easy it would be for them to compromise the Word of God. The people followed what the Pharisees told them to do in understanding and following the Word of God. Like the disciples, they would not want to offend the Pharisees. However, let's move on in the Matthew account. Peter asks a question, and Jesus answers it in Matthew 15, verses 16 through 20. And we'll read this in part. This is Matthew 15, 16 through 20. And Jesus said, are ye also without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out as the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Verse 19, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. And now verse 20, and these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now remember, Jesus wanted the people to understand what he was saying, and here his disciples are having difficulty understanding. I would suggest that these disciples had grown up with these traditions taught by the Pharisees, and their concern is just offending them. It was going to take time for them to see and understand the misrepresentation of God's word these traditions held. Therefore, as the timeline moves along, another lesson about bread is given. And this lesson involving bread is found in Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. Jesus and his disciples are in Tyre and in Sidon. So let's read Matthew 15, verses 22 and 23. So Matthew 15, 22 and 23. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. This woman is a Gentile. But notice the response of the disciples. Does it sound familiar? Remember what they said to the 5,000? Send them away. But let's continue the Matthew 15, 24 through 28 account. So Matthew 15, 24 through 28. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. A quote from Barnes Notes sums up what Jesus is saying, and we're going to read this in part. You are a Gentile. I am a Jew. The Jews call themselves the children of God. You, they vilify and abuse, calling you a dog. The Word of God, the bread, was given to the children of Israel. Yet this Gentile ate the crumbs of the bread. From these crumbs, she had developed faith. This was more than Jesus could say to many of the children of Israel and his disciples. Remember that after the feeding of the 5,000 on the Sea of Galilee, what Jesus said to Peter, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And in Mark 6:52, concerning the disciples, their heart was hardened. All the disciples could say about to this woman was, send her away. After the lesson with this Gentile woman, Jesus now returns to Galilee and gives another lesson involving bread. And this is found in Matthew 15, 29 through 39, and also Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. And this is the feeding of the 4,000. We notice in both of these accounts, the disciples do not say, send them away. And that's because Jesus explains why he's not going to send them away. The disciples still have to understand this lesson concerning bread. So let's read Matthew 15, 32 and 33. Matthew 15, 32 and 33. And Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Already we see the disciples have forgotten the events that occurred previously with the 5,000. They are consumed in the moment, and their focus is on what they can accomplish at that moment. They are not applying their experiences to previously learned lessons. Yet Jesus, in his infinite patience, teaches the lesson again. However, it does not stop here. Jesus sends the multitude away, and he and his disciples sail away. This time, when they land, they encounter the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who want a sign. After this encounter, Jesus again gets into a ship and teaches the lesson involving bread. And we're going to read the Mark account, and this is Mark 8, verses 13 through 21. So Mark 8, 13 through 21. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Is it because we have no bread?" And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, "Why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Perceive ye not yet, having eyes that not see, having ears that don't hear, and not remember?" And when I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, "How is it that you do not understand?" However, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 12, where the parallel account is, there is more information regarding this event. And we're going to read Matthew 16, verses 7 and 8. So Matthew 16, 7 and 8. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Is it because we have taken no bread?" Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves?" In these two accounts, Jesus focuses the disciples. They have now gone through various lessons involving bread and are yet to understand. Jesus says to them, "Ye of little faith, perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Have eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? Do ye not remember? If someone you respected said this to you, it would make you pause and consider." At this time, Jesus is plainly explaining his lesson to his disciples, as seen in Matthew 16, verses 11 and 12. Now they understand. So Matthew 16, 11 and 12. "How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not of you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Then they understood how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. But we're not done yet. The disciples realize that the Word of God is the Word of God. It does not need interpretation by the traditions of men. And these disciples have grown up with what these Pharisees and scribes have taught. This is critical in understanding the other lesson that Jesus is teaching involving bread. Jesus' encounter with the Gentile woman showed that there were Gentiles feeding on the crumbs that came from the children of Israel. Gentiles feeding on the Word of God. Jesus had already come across this with the centurion whose servant Jesus healed. Let's read Matthew 8, verses 9 and 10 to recall what Jesus said about this centurion. So Matthew 8, 9 and 10. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus said, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. What a reproving statement to make about God's chosen people. The faith that Jesus finds is the faith of a Gentile. Jesus knows that his time is limited, that his teaching of the Word of God is within a short period of time, and in order to continue this work, it will be his disciples who will carry the word of the Lord forward. He knows that the word is not only for the children of Israel, but those who are feeding on the crumbs, the Gentiles. The responsibility before for both Jews and Gentiles receiving the word of God will fall on those who follow him. It is in Matthew 4:19, the feeding of the 5,000, and in Matthew 15:35 and 36, the feeding of the 4,000, that the other lesson concerning bread is found. So we're going to read these two accounts. Matthew 14:19. Matthew 14:19, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Matthew 15:35 and 36. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. In these two scriptures, Jesus did not use a miracle to have the food distributed to all the people. Remember the logistics we speculated on regarding the feeding of the 5,000? The work was given to the disciples. Jesus gave the disciples the bread after he had blessed and broke it, and then it was their responsibility to give it to the people. Jesus spent 3.5 years giving the word of God to all who would hear in order to prepare them to continue this work of giving the word of God to both Jew and Gentile. The disciples had to learn to have faith in the Word of God. They needed to perceive and understand, to see and hear, have their hearts not hardened, and to remember. This was part of their service to God, so that they could give the Word of God to all people, both Jew and Gentile. This was the other lesson involving bread. It was going to be a time-consuming work. Remember the logistics? It was going to take time required to feed all that needed to be fed. Yet Jesus provided each disciple all the bread that was necessary in order to feed those whom he was responsible for. Let's conclude. When Jesus comes to Israel during his 3.5 years, he knows that the people have been instructed by a system of doctrines that have been developed by the elders, contrary to the Word of God. He knows this because he has grown up around this and all these various teachings. The word of God, he knows, has been made of none effect. Matthew 15, verses 2 and 3. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Mark 7, verses 9 and 13. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things like ye do. Jesus understood that one of his purposes was to give the word of God from his Father Jehovah to unveil the pure word of God for God's chosen people Israel. Jesus knows this will not be done quickly because there have been years, layer upon layer, of incorrect doctrine taught to the people. Therefore, Jesus concentrates his efforts on a small group of followers so that they can clearly discern the pure word of God from the doctrines of the elders. Jesus passes this bread, the pure word of God, to these disciples so that they can distribute it to all people, Jew and Gentiles. This is Jesus' point in John 12:35. And Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. The bread which Jesus gives to those who follow him is light. It will lead them in a world of darkness. They are to distribute this light to all, both Jew and Gentile. Psalm 119, verse 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 130. This is from the Leser translation. The opening of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Jesus knew his time was short, and in order to help others and his followers, he gives a series of lessons involving bread to teach about his responsibility and their responsibility regarding the word of God. Remember how Jesus, in feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000, broke the bread before giving it to his disciples. He also blessed the bread. Remember how Jesus admonished his disciples in Mark 8, 18 through 21. He said, Their eyes did not see, their ears did not hear, they did not remember what had happened with the feeding of the 5 and the 4,000. But now let's look at Mark 14:22 and Luke 22:19 and listen to this language. Mark 14:22, And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. Luke 22:19, And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Brethren, as we consider these lessons concerning bread, let us reflect on our responsibility as being followers of Jesus Christ. Our eyes are open. Our ears hear. We remember. These lessons were for us. The bread which we have was blessed and broken for us. We eat this bread. We remember him. We know it is also to be distributed to all people. It is our responsibility to teach all the pure word of God so that they can overcome the traditions of men that make the word of God of none effect. So they also can walk in light, the light of the word of God. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Rick, for this lesson on lessons concerning bread.
Our dear most gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time you have provided us to come together. For we know you are with us and watch over us and lead our lives so that we may learn the lessons that are necessary in order to do thy will. Continue to be with us and with our convention at this time. We ask that you be with all your brethren around the world. Help them, guide and direct them as you know their various needs. We continually pray for the peace of Jerusalem, thy nation Israel. And we earnestly wait for your kingdom to soon come here on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask all these things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.